Hi, friends. Welcome to episode 2 of the That Sounds Fun podcast. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and singing to us is my pal Dave Barnes and his song, Good. I wrote a blog post about it this week, and it's absolutely one of my favorite of his songs, so I couldn't resist sharing it with you. So grab that grab that on iTunes, and his Christmas album, it's really one of my favorites. Hey, for starters, before we get into this, I owe you an apology because the last podcast had some volume probs. I know, you told me, I appreciate it. I'm such a noob at this. I'm just figuring it out as I go. You just would not believe how much Googling and reading and calling educated people, how much I do to try to have this not sound like a Yahoo is in charge, but a Yahoo is in charge, you guys. That's just the reality of it. That being said, I hope we've got it worked out. So let me know. We are doing the best we can with the volume and figuring out all of this. So I cannot wait for you to hear today's episode. This is the part 2 of my conversation with author Ted Decker. I hope you've gotten to hear episode 1. If not, go back and grab that podcast so you can hear Ted talk about his new book, AD 30, as in the year, not 8030, as my southern drawl led many of you to believe last time, but AD 30. I would love for you to go back and hear that podcast and grab that book. It is such a good read. It would make a really great Christmas present for anyone that loves to get kind of lost in reading a fiction book. So it's awesome. Really. I mean, I could not have loved it more. So this week, we take a little bit of a different turn with Ted, where I ask him some questions about being a writer. So if you're a writer or an author or have thought about it or just think it's interesting to hear about process, that's kind of where we're going today. And because, you guys, I am, if nothing else, a hard-hitting journalist. I had heard this rumor about Ted's writing life that I really, really wanted to know the answer to. So I just went for it, y'all. I didn't beat around the bush. I just asked him. So that is where we will start, is with Ted and I talking about his writing life. Okay, Ted, I'm excited to talk to you now about your writing style, because you turn out books in a good pace, in a fast pace. And we have a lot of listeners and readers and friends who are also book writers or authors. And tell me a little bit about, I've heard rumor. Do you want me to tell you the rumor I've heard about your writing setup, or do you want to tell me your writing setup?
No, I want to hear the rumor.
Okay, this is the rumor that I have said as fact to people, so I hope I'm right. There is a rumor in the writing community that you have a computer that has nothing on it except a Word or a writing program. And that it doesn't even have internet set up or anything, that it's almost like a glorified typewriter, and that is what you write your books on, and then you put it on a jump drive and you take it to a computer to send it off to people, but that you actually have a writing computer that is dedicated only to writing.
Well, that's true. It used to be that way, actually, for a long time.
Great. So I have kind of been telling people the truth.
Yeah, that is true. I used to use this little device. I forget what it's called right now, but that's all it was. It was like a glorified typewriter. So that came out of probably a previous interview of mine, you know.
Yeah, I think I feel like I heard you, or it may have been another author who was telling me at a conference. In my brain, I'm picturing a conference where I heard it.
Yeah, so I absolutely. In fact, that allowed me to go away oftentimes. I mean, I used to write a lot of my novels either away in an RV where there was no phone cell service or internet connection. Or at times like to a monastery where they didn't allow computers. So I had this, device where I could just type. It was just a keyboard with a small screen, like a small computer. And I would just write, just nothing else. Yeah. So that is partly true. Now, of course, now I don't. Now I go away and I turn off my internet, and I have a computer that isn't hooked up to the internet, but it has other stuff on, and I just don't have it on at all.
Yeah, you just are disciplined enough to turn off the Wi-Fi and leave it off.
You kind of have to,
right?
I mean, there's too many distractions otherwise. It's life. Life is kind of that way. That's kind of the process. I mean, writing truly is a spiritual practice. My whole view of writing has shifted dramatically in the last couple of years. I mean, during writing this book, 8030, I see now my writing as a way as a practice, like a spiritual practice, a way of letting go of one world to see another. And as I practiced that in my writing, as I, let go of my fears and the obstacles and that present themselves to me, some people might call writer's block, whatever it is. It's coming up to those in a place of acceptance rather than fear and offering them no resistance. And in that place of surrendering to them, you're turning the other cheek to those problems that come against you, to use Jesus' teaching. Mm-hmm. And in that place of acceptance, inspiration comes of its own nature. We're like faucets, as people. And the creativity flows out of us if the spigot is opened. Mm. And so,
you think that's true for anybody?
Huh?
Do you think that's true for anybody? You think anyone is that creative?
I think all of us have vast reserves of creativity. It's just, in fact, equal reserves of creativity. It's just expressed differently or completely closed off, corroded off, clenched down through resistance and anxiety and frustration and anger and all the things that kind of cauterize or that cut off the flow that is within us. We are the light of the world. There's a great reservoir of light within us, but we've put a bowl, a bushel over it to cut it off. So we no longer see it ourselves. The creative process is one really of letting go of all those things that block that inspiration from us, and it rises naturally. I mean, now we express it differently. So a carpenter might be very different. Someone, we have different personalities.
Right.
We have all, what I'm saying? So, but a writer is somebody who's drawn to writing. They actually have, anybody can learn craft. The real question is inspiration, which is not so different than revelation. And that comes of its own accord when we, meaning the part of ourselves the part of ourselves that lives in resistance or anxiety or frustration, when that part of us gets out of the way, when we allow it to die, mm-hmm. When we allow it to die, which can be a painful process, but then suddenly this incredible inspiration comes. So writing is for me a spiritual practice. It's practicing what I do in the rest of my life.
Right, which is separating from the fear and walking away from the fear and moving forward and yet being disciplined with your time and being disciplined with what you're allowing in as well, right?
But you don't so much separate yourself from the fear because you don't want to run away from the fear. It's like a wall. You don't run away from the wall. You walk up to it in courage and allow it to be. There it is. Mm. And as you stare it in the face, like a wolf, or a dog, if you're afraid of it and run away, it'll chase you. But if you just let go of your fear or look at it without running away and just acknowledge it and see it, it stops barking after a while because it sees you're not afraid. Mm-hmm. And then it begins to whimper. And then soon it loses interest and it whimpers or runs away.
Right.
Well, these are like, this is the same with all those things that, the stumbling blocks that keep us from writing. You don't necessarily, you just get to see them there in front of you and stand in front of them and accept that they're there.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you experience this like I do too. I get emails from people who've read my books and they'll say, Annie, I want to write a book, but what you're saying, I'm just too afraid. I'm just too scared. I'm scared to tell my story. I'm scared when I sit down to write, I can't do it. So what would you say? I mean, what does it look like for someone who wants to sit down and start writing, but the fear almost is overwhelming?
Well, welcome to life.
Right.
Amen,
it's brother.
It's like stepping out of a boat. It's like stepping out of a boat. And this is just another great story of Jesus, but step out of the boat. Well, wait a second. I will drown. I'm afraid. I can't do that. okay, then you will drown. You drown because you know you will drown. And so you don't step out of the boat. Well, it takes a certain amount of faith. It takes great surrender of that boat that you think will keep you safe to step out onto that water. The only way to find transformation, let's say that you want to fly. Well, the way it works is that you jump off the cliff and grow your wings on the way down.
Right.
And this is just, but that's fearful. I'm afraid. Well, that's okay. Everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
So courage is simply stepping out anyway. Why? Because the transformation that occurs in that place, the great liberty that comes, then you are able to fly. You know, they say even eagles need a push. So little eaglets, their mother pushes them out of the nest
right
before they can fly, and then they start to fall, and the mother catches them and brings them up. And as they do this, they learn how to fly. Well, it's like that. And most of us are too afraid, though. We just stay in the nest. We just stay in the boat. So if someone's afraid, it's like, that's okay. That's how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. Don't be afraid to be afraid.
You know, I think Webster has done a major injustice with the definition of courage, because what it says is being able to do all these things, and it says without fear.
Well, that's...
And that's so wrong, because the fear voices don't stop whispering.
I have faced so much fear in my life. One reason why I write about fear. Well, didn't you have a question on fear?
We can just keep go with it. Yeah, I'm with you, Ted. You're driving this fear train, brother.
You said you had someone who asked me, well, does Ted ever scare himself?
Yeah, that's right. I had two people online ask when I said, what are the questions that you want me to ask Ted Decker? Two different people said, does Ted Decker ever scare himself? Which I think is so great.
Yeah, I frequently enter into the dark valley in order to find the light beyond it. I mean, you know, I was asked one time in an interview, you know, they say you write a lot of scary stories. And they're like, can you give us an example of where that's justified in the Bible? This was actually, I think, on CBN or something.
Gosh.
I forget. Anyway, and it just came to me that moment. Yeah, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was so terrified that he was very much afraid. Great anxiety. This is what causes. There's a condition that actually a real medical condition that where we can sweat blood, you know, sweat mingles with blood and the capillaries burst. And it comes from terrible, terrible anxiety. So, yeah, Jesus was in that place in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that he gave up his will, not my will, but your will be done. It was there that that was his final crucible, you know. So he took that journey and showed us the way that we all can take it. It's no different. In many respects, of course, we're not actually doing what he did in that same way. But the point is, you know, oftentimes, yeah, coming into fear and working your way through it and surrendering in the face of it, surrender like he did, giving up your own resistance, your own will, and surrendering, it gives you great power over that fear. So do I scare myself? I mean, I think I was drawn by my father to write many stories like that as a way of me walking through the valley to discover that the death was only a shadow.
Oh, sure.
Because it's called, you know, it's the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you discover when you walk into that place that death is only a shadow. Mm-hmm. But you don't know that up front.
Right.
You get to go into that dark forest. Mm-hmm. You get to go into that dark valley, not knowing it's a shadow, only having heard rumors it's a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to take the journey yourself.
What does that do to you personally? Yeah, I mean, as you're writing these stories, I mean, even in AD 30, it goes to some deep emotional places. Is that
Does that, I mean, that has to affect you personally as well. Because I write nonfiction, my brain doesn't know how to go into a fake world. I'm not smart enough to go into a fiction world and come back, you know? I just tell my own stories and so be it. But so I think you're way more smart than I am about being able to write fiction.
There's no difference, really. We're both telling stories. You're just telling stories that you've seen or... Me too.
That's right. You have to see. Yeah, you just have to see them in your mind. I just retell what my family ate for dinner, and they publish it. So, but what does that do for you personally? Is that, I mean, because I know when I write hard emotional scenes in my real life into books, I mean, I have to, you know, I have things I have to do to recover. Either go eat dinner with my friends or take a nap. Or does that happen when you're writing some of these intense emotional fictional scenes as well?
I think that writing 80-30 for me was very, very cathartic. It was very, very, very healing. Because I think that and much of my writing through the years was kind of a desperate search for, you know, I mean, I always went through that valley of darkness, whether I'm writing about a serial killer or whatever it is that I've written about in the past, searching for the light beyond. Right, you climb that mountain to reach the top and find the sun, and basically, my soul is my spirit crying out to be free. I mean, I've always written to discover, not to communicate something, and that's one reason why readers find my books, my stories, authentic. They can connect with them because, really, I'm writing their own stories because we're all the same. We're all one. You know, we really are the same. Jesus taught that. We're all one, and in John 17. So, you know, they're finding what I found in that, and I write to discover, to find my emancipation. I'm writing my way out of the prison, so to speak, but really I'm journeying. And in 80-30, before 80-30, my journey brought me to a place of incredible, my spiritual journey, my journey through life, to incredible freedom that I was able to find in the teachings of Jesus. It's just been so amazing. It's so amazing to me. I mean, I don't think I'm the same person I was 4 years ago.
Really?
But all those stories that I wrote, they all were just completely seated with the same existential angst and desire for freedom and completion, you know, that we all feel. When we find ourselves in difficult situations, I was just one of those few who maybe are completely obsessed because I know there's more, there's much more, there's it's like being Neo in the Matrix, you know, if you've ever seen that movie,
yeah,
it's like, okay, I see all these walls, I see all this stuff, but I know there's more. I can, it's like a haunting, it's like a very faint haunting melody that's calling me. There's much more than just this doctrine I'm seeing. Yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. And whereas I'm understanding it with my mind, but I'm not walking there. I want to walk on water.
Right.
I don't want to just hear that it can be done.
That it can be
when
done,
I say
sure.
Walk on water, maybe not walk physically over my pool, but on the dark, troubled seas of my life, I want to walk over them. I want to step out of the boat, but I'm afraid, just like you. Help me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Ted Decker, if anybody can walk across their swimming pool, I think it would probably be you. I actually think you'd be the one. Of all my friends, I think you're the one who's going to tell me, Annie, I walked across my pool yesterday, and I'll be like, not surprised.
Well, I have a long way to go before I can actually step out on that water. But I'm learning to walk on the troubled waters of my life. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I mean, things that, yes. Oh, absolutely. It is, we're back onto Jesus now. We're supposed to talk about writing.
No, well, isn't it the truth, though? But that, I mean, I feel the same way, that we can start, that everything that we do in our profession comes out, we're lucky enough that what we do in our profession, what we're paid to do, is really, like you said, the faucet flows out of our relationships with Jesus.
Well, Jesus had a lot, I mean, the whole story of him walking on water is a story that mirrors what happens when we sit down at a computer to write a novel, or to write a story, or to write an article, or write anything that we're afraid of. We call anything we have like a block, or we feel insufficient or inadequate, and we have a fear. Well, the only way to write that is to write it.
Mm.
Is to step out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
That you can only find faith in the place of uncertainty. You have to enter. You have to leave the shore of your old self and enter into this river of uncertainty to reach the other side of a new self. Mm. So uncertainty is the path.
Man, and we just don't like it, right? I mean, human nature is, don't give me uncertainty. Show me the map and let me walk the whole map. Show me the end and I'll do it.
That is absolutely human nature. That's our egoic nature. That's our flesh. Where mm-hmm. you call it whatever you want. That's the part of it that says, no, 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 stay where you are. Be safe. Well, you can be safe and you'll stay in misery.
Mm.
Transformation. But let's get back to writing. Writing a novel or writing any book, or embarking on any new endeavor in this way, it is stepping into those rivers of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Only there can you discover faith.
Right. Once you're willing to get in the thing. Yep.
Yeah, faith is, you know, faith is discovering the certainty of things unseen, which begins with complete uncertainty. So it's the evidence of things unseen. But you discover that evidence only as you experience it.
Yeah, and so, I'm almost interested to go home and look on my bookshelf and separate the books that I feel like were written for the author to discover and the ones who are trying to communicate with me. Because as you said, if the authors who are trying to figure things out as they go, I feel like I know them. I feel like I'm on the journey with them. And the ones who are just trying to communicate with me, I feel like they're my teacher.
Yeah.
So that is so interesting.
Yeah, that's true. This is that's what's so cool about Jesus, is that he showed us the way by taking it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Hebrews is really clear about that. It says, you know, I talk about this in 8:32, but Jesus, when he was on earth, you know, learned obedience through his suffering and his submission. Yeah, so he learned obedience.
Yeah.
Well, he's like us, what Paul calls him, our elder brother. He is like that writer,
mm-hmm.
getting back to writing, who also was afraid. Well, the only way to overcome fear is to walk forward into the darkness. The only way is to walk into the darkness. And they say that all spiritual journeying, all writing is learning to see in the darkness. All writing is learning to see in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And the only way to learn to see in the darkness is to enter it.
Yeah.
Without, and there you discover fear. I mean, yeah, you're saying, God help me, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, of course. I'm not saying you do it alone. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to take a step.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You get to walk.
Ted Decker.
So
I'm a fan. You're teaching me. I wish you could see how many notes I'm taking as we're going. I'm like going to have a quiet time about this later.
One thing I will say, Annie, is that as writers, we're very privileged that we have been gifted with or given or drawn to even this beautiful practice called writing, which is really a spiritual practice. It's really about our own evolution, our own transformation, word you want to use. It's not about not about the product we put out. It's actually about our own unfolding,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
I think
so
that's
you get
so,
to write.
Yeah, and I feel that in 8030, I feel like you said it was healing for you. It feels healing. The whole book, I mean, it feels like it's written from that place. So when you say that, it resonates so well with, even though the story has twists and turns and hurt and all that, from a writer standpoint, I go, yeah, this feels like it healed. Because it healed me. I'm telling you, it brought up things, and it's great. So, Ted, thank you so much for your time. This has just been so enjoyable, and I've learned a ton. So, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Annie. Let's do something. This is great. You are really good at this, and I love talking to you. So, let's do something in the future that's bigger.
Oh, Ted Decker, I'm a dreamer, brother. You don't want to go down this path. You don't want to get out of this boat. But
no, yeah, I do.
I'm in. I think this would be really fun. I just I find talking to other people that, I mean, really, for, I can tell you where I was in my college apartment room when I read the part of the Circle book where he started breathing water. I mean, yeah. So many of your books have just really led me toward this career. So I will talk to you whenever you want, because I love learning from you, and I think it's really fun. And I kind of talk a lot, so it works out great, right?
Yeah. So. No. It's fantastic. You ask very, very astute questions. That's great. I mean, learning to breathe water is like learning to walk on water. Same thing. You got to open your mouth and.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, when it went through his lungs, and I mean, I could see it, Ted. I could see the. I mean, I can see it right now talking to you about it. I saw. And that affects my spiritual journey the rest of my life. I thought there are moments that I get into that feel so unlike the world I'm supposed to understand. And I have thought to myself, breathe the water.
Yeah.
So that is a strong visual in my mind. So, all right, we'll make a plan to do this again. And I can't wait for all my friends to get to hear your wisdom. I've got like 9 quotes I can't wait to throw out on the internet.
So, cool. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Mutual.
It.
Mutual? Did I seriously just say mutual? Oh, you guys, you can't take me anywhere. But forget me. How awesome was that information from Ted, right? I mean, just learning more about how other people dig into their writing and their career and how our faith mixes with our work. I just think that is, it's something I'm passionate about. It's something I love talking about if you ever want to talk about it. And it's something that I think Ted has such a good view on, right? I mean, I just feel like there's so much to learn from people who are 5, 10, 15 years down the path. And for me personally, right, as an author and listening to Ted as an author, it was just really impactful. I loved it. Could you tell I loved it? Someday when I'm not worried about embarrassing myself, I'll tell you about how I cried after the interview ended. Okay, I just cried a little bit. It just meant a lot. I really loved getting to talk to him. So I got a little teary, okay? I'm embarrassed. Okay. So moving on. Hey, a couple things before I let you go. Coming up in the new year, we've got some really fun episodes of the podcast. Some people I can't wait to introduce you to. Some places I think you should go. Some of my favorite restaurants. Some of my favorite music that's new in the new year. Books, magazines. Are you reading Real Simple? Are you listening to the Serial podcast? These are the things that we should discuss. Hey, thank you so, so much for being a part of these first 2 episodes. I have just loved it. I hope you will grab a copy of Ted Decker's AD 30 and his older books, as we talked about in this interview, the Circle series. It's just incredible. And hey, if you have enjoyed these podcasts, it would mean so much if you would pop over to iTunes and just leave a quick review. You know, when strangers are trying to figure out what podcast they want to listen to, we want them to know they are welcome here. So a review would mean so, so much. And you can subscribe in iTunes if you're not already subscribed to this podcast. And that way, when the new one comes out, it will just pop up into your iTunes. If you need me, I'm easy to find on social media, Annie F. Downs everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, website, you name it, Annie F. Downs, and that is me. Can't forget to tell you about who you are listening to in the background. It's Dave Barnes again and Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum singing Christmas Tonight. You can find this one on Dave's record called Very Merry Christmas. I hope you will grab that. And I hope you will have a very Merry Christmas. What a great time of year. And here we are in Advent season, in the season of waiting. And then Christmas morning, Jesus is born, and he was worth the wait, right? So Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And I will see you next year. Hashtag oldest joke in the book. Thank you guys so much. And I really will see you next year. Looking too good to share. And maybe our friends won't.